We'll go deeper into the weather-ravaged September employment report. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. When Hurricane Harvey hit Texas and beyond, and Hurricane Irma hit Florida and beyond, it swept people off payrolls. This turned the government's September jobs report today into one big aberration. On job creation, the report showed none. In fact, there was a contraction of 33,000 jobs, the first time that monthly number has shrunk in 7 years. That's from counting American payrolls. The government also checks in with households about who's looking for work and who has it, and that puts the unemployment rate in America down from 4.4 to 4.2%. Government statisticians say this household survey was not affected by storms, but Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial in New York, told me he's skeptical of that.
It dropped to 4.2%, and the labor force was up more than 500,000. That is just an extraordinary thing. And I suspect what they mean when they say it's not storm affected is that employment wasn't hurt by the storm, but that doesn't mean it wasn't maybe helped. We probably all know people who are down helping with the cleanup. Employment rose 906,000, and I suspect, again, in the next couple of months, that's going to fall out. But this is what the markets are focused on, because we're also seeing signs of strength in other data. Car sales in September, for example, topped 18 million for the first time in years. Durable goods orders were stronger than expected. That's businesses replacing capital equipment. There's going to be a lot of post-storm spending in the Houston area in the fourth quarter.
Now, before you go, this is also the week when President Trump, after visiting storm-devastated Puerto Rico, said he's going to wipe out Puerto Rico's $70 billion in debt. He probably can't, but this roiled the municipal bond market for a couple of days. How is it now?
Well, it certainly roiled Puerto Rican bonds. You know, they were trading at about 46 cents on the dollar before that comment, dropped down to about 30 cents. They've since recovered to 39 cents. The more important thing, no contagion effect. Muni bonds, other than Puerto Rico's, are trading where they were before his comments. I think partly because even at the White House, a spokesman later clarified that the president didn't mean exactly what he said.
Yes, the White House budget director said we shouldn't take the president's statement on that word for word. Christopher Lowe at FTN Financial, thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
There's news that Tesla's Elon Musk is working to arrange a meeting with Puerto Rico's governor to help fix that territory's shattered electricity grid. Musk has a solar panel company, plus he's big into batteries for his Tesla electric cars and to store solar energy. Musk says he's done this for smaller islands. People who study the resilience of communities in the face of disaster are looking at many ways to generate power in a hyper-local neighborhood way. Now, as part of our ongoing coverage as Washington gears up to change the tax system in America, let's start with a euphemism, intergenerational wealth transfer. Let's grade that C- for vague. Try again. What are the Republicans saying about what happens to our money when eventually we die? Washington Post columnist Alan Sloan has been studying this. Thanks for coming over, Alan.
Good morning, David.
There is so much that is, you know, hazy about this framework for tax reform that the Republicans have offered. But among parts that seem crystal clear is what? The estate tax.
Right. They want the estate tax gone. The Republican Party calls it the death tax. I've always thought that was going to be their first priority, and I've been proven right.
And many of Americans will applaud the idea of getting rid of this estate tax.
But most people don't know or don't understand that only roughly one out of every 500 people who die leave an estate big enough to have to pay any sort of estate tax.
In other words, you got to be wealthy.
The amount on which you don't have to pay is $5.5 million for a single person, $11 million for a married couple.
But there are some other parts of America's system of taxation that are probably relevant to a lot more Americans when their older relatives shuffle off this mortal coil. One of them has to do with maybe your parents bought a house back during the Truman administration.
In my case, our original home equity that my wife and I first put up was less than $3,000 of our first house. It's now several hundred times that. And if tomorrow, God forbid, my wife and I passed on, our children would inherit the house. But for tax purposes, it would be valued at what it was the day we died, not at $2,700. So they would save a lot of taxes and would be able to sell the house and keep the money.
But surely they're not going to mess with that situation if they're getting rid of the estate tax for the more wealthy Americans.
I am not so sure it would be protected. The only experience we have was in 2010 at the end of the Bush tax cuts, where for 1 year the estate tax disappeared. This, what they call the step up in basis, mostly disappeared at the same time the estate tax disappeared.
All right, but that's a bit of history, 2010. But this time around, I mean, what happened? You call over the White House and ask?
Well, I sent a nice note to the White House and I said, what do you plan to do about this? And the answer came back and it said, it's up to Congress.
Wait a minute, that's not much of an answer.
But at least it was an answer.
Washington Post columnist Alan Sloan is also editor-at-large at ProPublica. Mr. Sloan, thanks for coming by.
My pleasure, David.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.